What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And talk to Joe Patrick. Smoking Joe Patrick joins us. Hey, you know what? I'll change gears. We'll start with United and then we'll get to Falcons. How about that?
Yes.
Hey, Joe, I don't know if there's any – you putting any stock in this story about Miggy coming back from Newcastle?
I am pretty stock in it, guys. It's a pretty exciting one for Atlanta United fans because obviously everything that Miguel Almirón means to them and their fandom, you know, it's kind of a different – it's one thing to have a legend kind of come back to your team or whatever who's been a part, but for Atlanta United fans, it's like that's the team that they initially knew. That when they became Atlanta United fans, it was watching a player like Miguel Almirón. And here's basically the deal with what's happened. He was in talks with Charlotte FC to become their next designated player. For whatever reason, those talks broke down, or Charlotte basically decided to move on to different targets. It looks like they're narrowing in on Wilfred Zaha, a guy who's played in the Premier League before, people might know. But they basically moved off of Almirón, and apparently Charlotte called up Atlanta and said, hey, we had the rights to negotiate with him, and they're called discovery rights in MLS, but we're not negotiating with him anymore, so feel free. And I don't know exactly how MLS thought that discovery rights would be transferred from one team to the other, but regardless, it seems like, well, we now know that Atlanta United is negotiating with Miguel Almirón. We've even seen reports in the last hour that they've gone from not being very advanced to getting advanced. He's given the green light to the situation. And it has always felt to me like once they got to actually officially talk that things were either going to come together or kind of fall apart relatively quickly. I think at this point it looks like they're coming together.
Joe, their new head man seems to be a bit of a character. Is it Ronnie? Is it Delia? How are we pronouncing it? I know that's been a...
Dylan.
Like okay, so...
Dylan.
Dylan. All right, so Ronnie Delia coming in. Can you talk about him for a second? Because it seems like he's the type of guy who, I'm not saying any other coach for United since I've been here didn't have energy and enthusiasm. They obviously did. But this guy seems like the type of character Atlanta fans could get attached to.
Yeah, I got to sit down with him last week, and I think he's exactly what this team needs right now. It's kind of a breath of fresh air in a way that is exciting because I think he's going to kind of light a fire under some of these players' asses. You know, he's going to demand things that I don't know have been really demanded before. You know, like Gonzalo Pineda was kind of the classic like players' coach, and he was coming off of, you know, the team having Gabriel Heinze, who was obviously extremely demanding. Ronnie Dyla, he kind of strikes you as more of a Frank DeBoer style of guy, and that's just kind of more, it strikes you because that's kind of the manner in which he speaks. He's kind of got that European, that Northern European accent like that. But he's, you know, extremely demanding, and he has shown an ability to win an MLS. He won an MLS Cup title with NYCFC, only took him like a year and a half to do that. It sounds like having talked to him, he felt like he was not appreciated enough, and that was one of the reasons why he ultimately decided to move on to Club Bruges, where then that team went on to win. So the guy has won in multiple spots, and most importantly, he's won in MLS. But I think most of all, what's exciting is that, you know, he is going to demand a certain standard and a certain work ethic from this group that I think that they're very willing to give. I think that this team of young players that Atlanta United has, now, once you put some more experienced DPs around them, I think they're a group that are kind of would really embrace a coach really demanding that kind of thing out of them and kind of bring back that pressing, high-intensity kind of style to Atlanta United that we all have desperately wanted to see now for years.
Falcons defensive coach, search conversation in just a minute. We're just talking about United because rumors now that Miguel Almirón could be back. So does a guy just hit me up and go, well, you know, Father Time. I felt just when I watched United, talking about, you know, Newcastle United, that they just, coaches, it was like star-crossed for Miggy. They either didn't trust him, he was sort of just never a good fit, and when he did get on the pitch, he seemed to make things happen for those guys.
I agree. You know, when he went into Newcastle United, they had a manager named Steve Bruce, who's kind of like an old school kind of, you might call him like of like a different era, like kind of a relic of like Premier League managers gone in a year gone by. And he didn't really, you know, take to Miguel Almiron, because a lot of times these transfer deals, it's kind of that classic, you know, you got your cooks, you know, and who's ordering the ingredients, and the people who are ordering the ingredients aren't necessarily what the cook wants. And that seemed to be how it was for him at Newcastle. Of course, it was a deal that Atlanta United wanted to make because they got the most money from it. But then it seemed like the entire time Miguel was at Newcastle, you know, they had different managers coming in and out of the door. He never really had a sense of consistency or, I think, just, you know, regular playing time in the team. And Mike, I know you've been following his career, and it's crazy this year that he only has 398 minutes in all competitions for Newcastle United. So it's not like he has accrued a ton of mileage on you know, wear and tear on the tires over the course of his time at Newcastle, although he has had some injuries start to crop up, and he's 30 years old now. So it's kind of funny. We all kind of think of him as this kind of young player, and while he still is very fast, definitely brings that to the table, and that's something that Atlanta United wants to add. He is kind of an experienced player at this point, and I think it's an interesting kind of turn from Atlanta United, where you go from, you know, spending big on these DPs like Thiago Almada, who you can then sell on for a lot of money afterwards. And I think that Garth Lagerwey really wants to put all the value that he can directly into the roster, and I don't think they really care about sell-on value in this case. They just want a player who can provide value on the field, and I think that everyone feels confident that Almiron, especially as a player who's been here before, will be able to step in right away, not really have, you know, any issues kind of transitioning from one league to the another, and be able to provide that leadership and that quality on the field.
All right, Joe, we just found out coming down a couple of minutes ago, Steve Wilks will be the latest candidate to interview for the defensive coordinator job for the Falcons. So now we have Lou Anarumo. We have Steve Wilks and
Steak Shapiro here. Lou Albano, Albano, interviewing with the, you know, Falcons.
Exactly, and we know what's going on with the team right now in terms of their search. There's three candidates right now. How wide of a net do you expect them to cast before they make their decision?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I actually expect them to continue to add names onto this list. I do like guys, just like literally the names, they sound like defensive coordinators. Steve Wilks, a Wink Martindale, you know, a Lou Anarumo. You know that guy knows his football. No, but I kind of kid. But no, there are a lot of coaches out there who have, you know, the resume. I think it's more of an issue for the Falcons as to who they can convince to actually come and take over a defense that is not particularly talented, that hasn't had a lot of money invested in it outside of a couple positions, and that it's going to, I think, have some rebuilding to come over the next couple of years. And so I think Steve Wilks is a guy who's obviously very familiar with Raheem. He was at training camp for a couple of days just to kind of get familiar and, you know, just kind of shadow as these guys tend to do. But I, you know, there's obviously some bigger names still out there. I would be surprised, or I at least hope the team can get Dennis Allen, the Saints coach that was fired in for an interview. I think he would be my top candidate just because of the familiarity he would have with people like Terry Fontenot to Caden Ellis and how important he is on that defense. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of different ways this thing could go. And I think we're still just in the very preliminary stages of trying to figure out who's separating the wheat from the chaff.
That's the thing, man. I'm with you. I said Dennis Allen yesterday. You remember, he was there for Onyemata and for Caden Ellis, and I think he got the most out of these guys. But you said it. We got to draft better. We got to get impact players. We spoke with legendary NFL writer John McClain. You're going to hear that coming up at 4:20 for guys who missed it yesterday. And McClain was saying our only hope, and again, this is like a 100-to-1 shot, Joe, is that somebody needs a quarterback late, and you hope that you can maybe get Cousins off the books and somebody picks up $10 million of the tab. And that still seems like long odds.
Yeah, you know, the Cousins thing is interesting. I tend to think that this team is going to hold on to him. Like, I don't think they're going to cut him before that March 17th deadline, honestly, guys. I think they could even pay the $10 million and then trade him later. That could even be a possibility, and it would still probably be worth it for the Falcons. But certainly the Kirk Cousins is going to play a big deal into all these kinds of different movings that are happening on the Falcons roster and coaching staff.
That's the thing, though. I mean, if you look at that tape, you just show them the tape of the two games against the Bucks. Don't show them anything that happened, including that Saints, Chargers, Minnesota. Just some awful stuff.
And show them Brad Guzan's stats in his second year removed from the Achilles, right?
Right. I mean, that's just it. Now, that you're hoping that somebody – but again, that's the odds that somebody in late July or August is fishing for a quarterback, that just seems a bit – I don't know. Hey, man, Joe, we'll be keeping up to date on it. If Miggy, something happens concrete, hit us back, all right?
Will do. We'll be on, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.